It's time for our weekly update on news from Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. Results are in from yesterday's round of primaries. Establishment Republicans held their ground in Mississippi with a win from Thad Cochran.
Also in the headlines, Speaker of the House John Boehner is suing President Obama for overstepping his boundaries on executive actions. Paul Singer joins us every week at this time. Welcome, Paul.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Well, we've been watching over these past weeks the needle on the GOP establishment versus Tea Party this primary season. What does the latest round tell us?
Well, I mean, it looks like we are back in the GOP establishment having the upper hand. We were all set back on our heels on that theory a couple of weeks ago when House Majority Leader Eric Cantor lost his primary in a shocker to a Tea Party challenger. Although I will say in fairness that that particular race was kind of an outlier. The Tea Party challenger had no major Tea Party backing at all. I think part of the issue here is that people just didn't like Eric Cantor very much, sadly. But anyway, at the moment, you know, this week, the establishment has done better. In Mississippi, Thad Cochran managed to survive a runoff against a Tea Party challenger named Chris McDaniel. McDaniel gave a very disgruntled, non-concession speech last night, very close in this runoff, just a few thousand votes separating him. And McDaniel's argument basically is that Cochran only won by getting Democrats and black voters and others who traditionally would not vote in Republican primaries to come out and rescue him.
Right. That's an interesting angle on this one. What happened there? How does a Republican get Democrats to vote for him?
Well, a Republican gets Democrats out to vote for him by pointing at the other Republican and saying, basically, that guy's crazy. You don't want him to be your senator. And you've known me for 30 years. You like me better.
And Mississippi law allows this.
Yeah, as long as you didn't vote in the Democratic primary, you were still allowed to cross over and vote in the Republican runoff. And because, again, you know, 3 weeks ago, McDaniel managed to deny Cochran an actually outright victory. They were neck and neck, and so they had to have a runoff. I think the person who's going to be most angry about this is Travis Childers, who's the Democratic congressman who's running as a Democrat in the Senate race, who is probably turning to his Democratic pals and saying, "You big dopes, why did you turn out for Cochran? I'm going to have a much harder time beating him. McDaniel is maybe beatable." With McDaniel losing, McDaniel, you know, who had a long history of fairly controversial statements, with McDaniel losing, this seat basically becomes a safe Republican reelection bid. Cochran is very likely to win.
And if McDaniel had won, Mississippi would have been in play this year for Democrats, a scenario that establishment Republicans weren't liking. So what does that mean for the big balance of things?
Well, I mean, I think it is an advantage Republicans in the sense that you know, they don't have to spend a whole lot of money in Mississippi. They don't have to worry much about Mississippi. I think if McDaniel had been the candidate, it would have been a much more heavily contested race, a much more expensive race, and a bigger question mark. I think now that's pretty much off the table, unless something else, you know, significant breaks in this race. I mean, I will say, for what it's worth, that Thad Cochran is a really decent human being, but he's also an old fella, and every now and then he says and does things that come across a lot and may still create a challenge for him in the general election. But we'll see. I mean, the other thing, there's other races around the country where the same sort of dynamic worked out. I mean, I believe it's the Colorado governor's race. The establishment candidate was a guy named Bob Beaupre, and the sort of insurgent was a guy named Tom Tancredo, who was a very conservative member of Congress, former member of Congress, who was known basically for being a hardliner on immigration. And in the competitive races in Colorado, there's several next, you know, in the fall, it was going to be a real liability, or assumed it was going to be a real liability, if Tom Tancredo was their standard bearer, because it was going to scare away a lot of Hispanic voters. Well, now you have Bob Beaupre, not nearly such the problem. Again, better for the Republican establishment, worse for the Democrats.
So how do you think that Beaupre won that one? What tipped it his direction?
Oh, well, you know, I think part of what tipped it in this direction is money. In all these cases, you know, it's money. It is the, you know, I'm electable, I'm more reasonable, I'm the guy the party wants. You know, you got a lot of people getting out to vote for you. You got a lot of people organizing on the ground for you. It makes a difference. I mean, the same was also true in Oklahoma. There's a guy named T.W. Shannon who was a candidate for Senate against a guy named Lankford, who is, again, Republican congressman, member of the Republican leadership, endorsed by the Republican establishment. Shannon was endorsed by Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz. But, you know, this is Oklahoma. Being endorsed by a guy from Texas may not be all that helpful to you. And you still have to organize. You still have to get the votes out. This is expected to be a very close race. And in the end, it wasn't. Lankford walked away with it. So, you know, sometimes the reason you're part of the establishment is you've got a lot of friends who are well-organized and well-connected. You know how the politics works.
Well, people are trying to, you know, I guess, including me, trying to get a handle on whether or not this means the Tea Party is weaker or whether we just shouldn't be reading too much into any of it right now.
Yeah, you know, I was laughing at my reporter pals on Twitter last night because, you know, the races are still coming in and people, oh, 60% of the vote's in and so-and-so's up by 1,000 and so-and-so's down by 1,000. You know, we spend an awful lot of time trying to call this entire political scene like a horse race. You know, so-and-so is ahead by a nose for now, but 5 minutes from now they're going to be someplace different. I try not to look at the national picture that way. The major races have not changed all that much. There's a half dozen or a dozen major national Senate races you need to care about that are going to determine whether Republicans or Democrats control the Senate next year. That is the big banana. And each one of those races is unique and different. The Alaska race with Senator Begich is going to be different than the Arkansas race with Senator Pryor, which is going to be different than the Kentucky race with Senator McConnell. Each race has its own dynamic. There is not really a national story to tell. But then again, those are the kind of things that get me kicked off radio shows, so I try not to say it.
Well, one more that I think is worth mentioning, well, actually a couple more. Democrat Charlie Rangel seems to have
just
held
now.
On to his
just
his,
now.
Just in.
They just called it. They just this just in. Breaking news on your program.
I love it.
The AP has just called that race for Charlie Rangel.
So his opponent conceded?
No.
No.
AP called it. I don't think Esmalat has conceded anything yet,
okay.
but AP has concluded, and we trust them, that there's not enough votes outstanding, still uncounted to give the race to Esmalat, and it's about a 4,000 vote difference, I think. So Charlie Rangel will be, by all measure, returning for his 23rd term and last, I might add. He says it's his last.
It's called the Lion 23rd. Of Harlem, right?
Yeah, yeah. Charlie Rangel, you know, he is a total character. He is who he is. I've had my interactions, some pleasant, some unpleasant, with him over the years, and he is a charming fellow. But he doesn't have a whole lot of power in the House anymore. He's no longer the Ways and Means Committee chairman because he had to step down after he was slapped with an ethics violation. So, you know, he's just at this point the third most senior Democrat in the House. Will be second, actually, because John Dingell is stepping down. So he'll be the second most senior Democrat in the House next year.
Well, we're going to zoom out a little bit, talk about a big headline out of the Capitol today, that Speaker of the House John Boehner is suing President Obama for overstepping his role as president with his executive orders. What's Boehner's case?
Oh, I'm not sure he has one. I mean, I don't mean any disrespect for Speaker Boehner in this case. I mean, I think this is largely a political statement, not a really significant legal argument. But that said, the case will be that the president is essentially derelict in his duties to enforce the laws as passed by Congress. This is a never-ending back and forth between the two ends of Pennsylvania Avenue. Congress passes laws, and the presidency implements the laws, and Congress is mad. The Republicans in Congress are mad, I should be clear. The Republicans in Congress are mad that Obama essentially has said on several cases, well, I'm going to do this my own way. I'm going to waive certain rules for, say, young immigrants who were brought here illegally by their parents. I won't deport them. He has said, I'm not going to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, which prohibits federal recognition of gay marriages, stuff like that. They feel that, and they have said over and over again, that we can't trust this president because he doesn't implement laws when we pass them. Now they're going to try and, well, they say they're going to try and file suit alleging that he has essentially broached federal law by not loyally adhering to what was passed in the law. Yeah, I mean, this would be a tough fight. I mean, George W. Bush for years did the same thing. They had these signing statements saying, here's how I interpret the law you've just passed and how I intend to implement it. So I don't know that this is all that new, but it makes for nice theater.
Well, Paul, I have one last very difficult question for you. Yesterday, President Obama was at a Chipotle and he reached over the sneeze guard to point at the food. Should he have done that?
Bad. Bad. Well, then again, I mean, this is the president who's married to Michelle Obama, who's a healthy food connoisseur, and he's going to a Chipotle. So, you know, I figure he's got, you know, more than just hygiene issues to deal with when he gets home.
Well, I think the sneeze guard is sacred.
I do too, but, you know, what can I tell you? He's the president of the United States.
Paul, thanks a lot.
Point his finger at anybody's chili.
Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, take care, Veronica.
We've been talking to Paul Singer, politics editor for USA Today. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest news out of Congress.